If you would, take out your Bible and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We are near the end. This one and maybe one more, and we'll be finished with our study through Ecclesiastes. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Once you've found your place, let's read. Verse number 1, this is God's word. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up with the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to have your word and time together with your church in it. But we ask for your blessing upon this time. We don't want to waste this time, God. We want your Holy Spirit to presently illuminate your truths to us. We want our spirit to grow in our knowledge of your word and our relationship with you. So we ask for your blessing upon this time. We come to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. People fail to find true joy in life because they do not sufficiently call to mind Almighty God. In our youth, we intend to give our lives to God later. There's so much I've got to do right now, and it's difficult to just commit my life to Him. Or maybe I'm not worth it yet because I'm just young. I'm a young man. I'm not a man. I'm a young lady. I'm not quite a wife and a mother, or I don't have a career yet, or whatever it is. And we say to ourselves, I'm going to call to mind God regularly. I'm going to give my life to God regularly later. Well, later in adulthood, we become so busy that it must be pushed aside until we have enough time. Well, I'll give it all to God once I get the career settled. But then children come along. Well, they're just babies now. When the babies are a little older and I'm not so sleepy, I'll give more time to God. But then they become children with busier schedules than you have. And you say, well, when the children are out of the home, that's when Mom and I will give that time to God. Maybe when we retire and the career is over, we'll give that time to God. Someone here this morning could very easily make Solomon's point in these verses for us. As we wait throughout life, just prior to death, which means time has run out, what is it that has happened to us? Now that we're no longer busy and we're no longer raising children and we're no longer too young, why is it we can't fully serve God as we would? All right, I heard lots of things. I think what I heard there was my health, my back, my neck, my knees. But eventually, after all of that, we run out of time and we look back at all we wish we'd have done in life. Ecclesiastes 11 ends and verse number 12 begins with the admonition to give God your youth. Now, I don't mean just youth, as in the years from 0 to 18. That is fitting today, given that we are recognizing some graduates. And I will give this as a charge to our graduates who we've recognized this morning. But I don't want it to stop there. This is applicable to all of us. Give God now. You say, well, I'm not young anymore. I'm in this age of my life. Fine, but now is still younger than tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may hold, so give God today. C.T. Studd wrote two lines in a poem. I'm going to share you the whole poem here, but you likely already know the two lines. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How many of you have heard those two lines? Yeah, they're very popular lines. Those lines within Christianity come from a poem by C.T. Studd called Only One Life. Listen to these words. He says, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Isn't that great? It's true. In our text this morning, Solomon works through three times of life, and I want to use those as our headings today. Youth, adulthood, and then death. I just want to give you a simple thought that God wants our youth. And I don't mean it as God wants the young people of our church, which is true. But I mean to say to us individually, God wants your time and he wants it now. He doesn't want it later. Young people, he wants your youth. So does Satan. So does the world. God wants our youth. Verse number one begins, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator when you are young, before the days of trouble come, before the years when you look around and say, I have no pleasure in these things. Solomon seems to purposefully say here, Creator, instead of God. He doesn't say, remember your God, remember the Lord in the days of your youth. No, he says, remember your Creator. Why does he do this? It draws your mind to what? To your creation, to your beginnings, to the one who made you, to the one who gave you life. When we are young, our minds are always toward the future. We're not thinking about the past. There is so little of it for us. We're always thinking about what's next, what is yet to come. What was on your mind when you were in the preschool ages? Playing? Avoiding nap time? And snacks? I still have snacks on my mind, and I try not to avoid nap time. And then I remember when the days of school began. I couldn't wait. I had a sister 5 years older than me. So she was teacher, and I was always student when we played at home. And it got me excited for school. I sadly found out the real school was nothing like sister school. And I wanted to go back. And so as I sat in school, I was always thinking toward the future, like recess and lunch. As I aged, I couldn't wait to get a little older to when I could drive. And then when I could drive, I couldn't wait to get a little older till I could drive with a girl. And then once I got a girl in the car, I couldn't wait to get kids in the car. And then with a house and a car and a job and a wife and children, I wanted some success. And then with some success, I wanted to leave a legacy. And then with a legacy, I realized that to get there, my days would be over. In our youth, we're rarely thinking about the past. Our minds are always on the future. To bring the mind back here to the creation, to our Creator, Solomon is encouraging us to focus our mind upon God throughout all of life. To remember your Creator is to bring to mind daily what He has done for you and to act upon this knowledge. To remember your Creator is to make God central in your life and to focus your life on doing His will. Derek Kidner writes, "To remember Him is no perfunctory or purely mental act. It is to drop our pretense of self-sufficiency and commit ourselves to Him." In fact, I would use Solomon to proof text Solomon here. He says in verse 1 to remember your Creator. And I think he says exactly in verse 13 what he means by that as he talks about the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, if you've been with us from the beginning, this is the 12th chapter of him and his pursuit of wisdom and his awareness that all of the things in life are just meaningless, he says. They're vanity. They're like grasping for the wind. You never can seem to catch it. So what's his conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is the chief end of man? To fear God and to enjoy Him forever. Very similar to what Solomon is saying here. How do we remember our Creator in the days of our youth? We fear Him. We keep His commandment. We see this as the whole duty of the man. God wants our youth. Verse 9 of chapter 11, he said to rejoice in your youth. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And then he begins chapter 12 and verse 1 here saying, in your youth, remember, think back, keep in mind your Creator. Specifically in verse 1, then he tells us why. Because there are days coming that lived without God will lead to no pleasure. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Johnny Hunt would always say, you cannot afford to put off faith in God until you are older. You'll run out of time. Spurgeon said, youthful sins lay a foundation for aged sorrows. I'll illustrate that with you. When I was a young adult, I was in my early 20s. I was between 19 and 21 years old. I was big and strong. I'm big now, but I'm not strong. And I wanted to show off how big and strong that I was. And we were moving a piano. I've always worked for churches. I started preaching when I was 15 years old. And we were going to move a piano. And there were four of us going to move this piano. And I said, you guys get that in, I'll get this end. And I still have to go to the chiropractor regularly. Youthful sins lay a foundation for aged sorrows. verses 2-5, Solomon then lays out what these evil days look like that he refers to in chapter 1 or verse 1. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What does he mean there? What are these days? And I simply headed them adulthood. So he says, remember, verse number 2, your Creator before. Now he changes the tense here just a little bit. He's been saying before. Now he's going to go to while, but I want you to think of it as before. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. So to keep the tense from verse 1, he would be saying before these things happen. Everybody following? Nor the clouds return after the rain. So remember your Creator before the darkness of the older years overtakes you. Now, I want you to, in your notes, write this very simply. Before you are too busy. Now, he's going to give us a lot of information here in these 2, 3, 4, 5 verses of what it is that's going to cause us to be too busy and why we must give God our youth. But don't miss this overarching point of before you're too busy. What does he mean in verse 2? He's painting a picture. He's offering an allegory here. He's talking about one thing but meaning another thing. Before the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain, he's picturing adulthood as a winter storm in Israel. Solomon, king in this Middle Eastern country, is observing the weather patterns and saying, this is very much what it's like as we age. He sees these clouds roll in from the Mediterranean. In this wintertime, even in the daytime, it is dark. In Tennessee, in the daytime, in the winter, it is dark. It's gloomy. The sun and the light are darkened. The night is pitch black. The moon and the stars are darkened. So adulthood, older age, is filled with seasons of darkness. Often there's no break in the clouds to let in some sunlight. He says here, the clouds return with the rain. As adults, you receive one setback after another. There's an injury, there's a sickness, there's a disease, there's trouble with a child, there's trouble with the finances, there's marital problems, there's the death of a friend. It's just one depressing thing after another. The clouds return with the rain. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before those days of gloom and darkness overtake you. It'll be very difficult to remember your Creator then, unless you form those habits now. Verse 3, in the day when what? When the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men are bent. The strong men bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Here we get the decline of older age portrayed by the decline of a structure, a house. You could even say here, a structure as in an institution, a business. What is he talking about here? What are the keepers of the house? If you were to fall this morning, what would keep you from hitting your face? Your hands. If you trip and fall, you put your hands down and you stop your brain from hitting the ground there. The keepers of the house. What does he say happens to the keepers of the house as we age? They tremble. I like to watch old westerns. And one of the things I love in the old westerns is they judge their ability to be quick. You know, they got to shoot someone by their hands. They'll say, are you still got it? Or, you know, sometimes Dean Martin's on a drunk. And they'll say, are you sober enough? And he'll say, because you know the leading character, what's his name? Chance. John Wayne is Chance. This is where I get my John Wayne complex from. I'm sorry. Pray for my humility. And they'll say, are you sober? Can you do it? And he holds his hands out. And if they're trembling, it's bad news. But if he can hold them firm, it's good. The keepers of the house, tremble. Give God your youth before you get to the day and age where you can't even hold your Bible without it shaking. And this is no insult being hurled at any who have reached that time of life. It's an encouragement to those who haven't to make the best use of these days. The strong men shall bow themselves. The hands tremble. The legs then, these strong men that hold the house up, they begin to lose their strength. The grinders cease. Who can follow the pattern here and tell me what the grinders are? The teeth. Any testimonies here? You just can't eat steak like you used to? Happens, right? Yeah. So you choose softer foods. You accommodate. The hands are shaky. The legs aren't as strong as they used to be. And the teeth have fallen out, or they just can't munch on things as they would. What's next? Those that look out of the windows be darkened. Our eyes. We used to could see brightly, and now things are a little dimmer. We used to could drive at night with no problem, but now it's a little dim. The eyes are darkened. The hands tremble. The legs lose their streak. The teeth fall out. The vision begins to fail. So the sad reality here is, and you've got this young king who's lived and done so much, and now he's older and he's looking back on it. He's trying to find meaning in life. He's suicidal at one point. He says, is there any point to any of this? And he's making the point here that giving God your youth, fearing Him, keeping His commandments as the whole duty of man is where the meaning comes from. And he says here, this, think of Solomon. We think of him, we always think of him as, I don't know about you, strong and handsome. He had 1,000 wives. He wasn't an ugly guy, right? Or 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. What's that? Yeah, well, but he was still handsome. I mean, you know. And now he's older and he says, boy, my hands tremble, my legs are weak. Can't eat like I used to, and my eyes don't see as they once did. Jimmy was giving me a hard time a few weeks ago. He said, I'm noticing you squinting trying to read off the back screen back there. And Jimmy's kind to me. He said, we should get a bigger screen. I said, Jimmy, I don't think they make a bigger screen that we can put back there. Just going to have to turn and look this way. Verse 4. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Remember him. Remember your Creator. When the doors on the street are shut and the sound of the grinding is low, one rises up at the sound of a bird, all the daughters of a song are brought low. Your hearing gets worse. What you can eat, what you can grind, is soft and easy to chew. Your sleep is light and easily disturbed. And you can't sing like you once did. The vocal cords have kind of gotten older. How many of you rise up at the voice of a bird? It's the worst, isn't it? I love to hear birds sing during the waking hours, the awake hours. But when I'm trying to sleep, hush, be quiet. Our house backs up to the car care center in White Bluff, and they've got a car there they've been working on. Something's wrong with the security in the car. And just at random times, it'll just start, meh, 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 meh. The lights are flashing, you know. Middle of the day, middle of the night, whenever. The other night, I told Shanae, I said, I'm going over there. I'm going to jack the hood open somehow, and I'm going to pull the battery cable. And she was like, are you sure this is a good idea? And I was like, I'm not going to hear this all night. And then right in that moment, it stopped. And I said, all right, I won't go. I won't trespass, and I won't destroy other people's property. Verse 5, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Has your balance gone yet? Some of you who are getting older. When I was a kid, I used to help a guy in our church do roofing. I would climb up the ladder. I would tote a thing of shingles on each arm. I wouldn't even hold on. I'd just go right up the roof there, 20 feet, drop the shingles off. Now I go up a ladder, hugging that ladder, and there's no way I'm holding on to anything else. And fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because the man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Now that might be the kindest way for anybody to ever describe getting old and dying. It's very nice what he says there, isn't it? The almond tree flourishes. What is he talking about there? What does an almond tree look like when it's in bloom? It's white on top. So you've turned gray in the head here. The grasshopper. Think about a grasshopper. He says here, the grasshopper shall be a burden. To whom is a grasshopper a burden? It's a light, it's small, it's quick, it can bounce around. I mean, a grasshopper can just span so much with a single bound. He's like an insect version of Superman there. What does he mean here? He says, that which used to be the embodiment of lightness and agility now just sort of drags itself along. I was talking to Rick before church, and you were saying at the graduation party yesterday, he saw the young men playing ball. And they could run fast and they could jump high. I miss those days, don't you, Brother Rick? I wish to still have them. Maybe you still got them. I don't mean to put that on you there. But I miss those days. Notice four words in the middle of that verse that are discouraging words. And desire shall fail. This is a part of aging that I probably should have had a better grasp on when I was a young man. I'm fairly young now, but when I was even younger, you lose your appetites. For sure, you lose your appetite. The way you eat changes. Your grinders are failing. Maybe the sense of smell isn't what it used to be. Even the sense of taste may not be what it used to be, but I don't think he means just that. I think if we use the word appetite, plural, appetites, it plays into all of this. There are lots of appetites and passions that we have in life, and they bring us lots of pleasures, but there's a day coming where the desire for these things just won't be what they are now, sadly. And I'm not saying all this to discourage you. I mean, he ended with what? What does he end with there? Because the man goeth to his long home. I don't think they had rest homes in Solomon's day, so I don't think he's talking about the retirement facility. I think he means their death, because the mourners are going out in the streets. This is depressing. But it's not depressing with no end. It's not depressing with no alternative. What am I to do? Well, remember your Creator now. Solomon was the wisest man who lived in that day, and God had given him supernatural wisdom, and he had observed the patterns of life, and these are the things he observed. And he didn't say, but I've found the secret to youth. I've come up with this product from Persia that'll get rid of the lines on your face. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I've found this doctor from the East who can operate on you and make you just feel young again. That's not what he said. He said, your eyes are going to fail, your ears are going to fail, your voice is going to fail, your appetites are going to decrease, your teeth are going to fall out, you're eventually going to die. But enjoy your life. He never thought of me having to have to preach this, did he? How? Remember your Creator now. Don't wait until you're too busy. Don't wait until you're too old. Don't wait until it is too late. Live your life responsibly before death comes. Verse 6 and 7, 8 get us to death. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. So we have the imagery here of an oil lamp and then a cistern. He's just continuing this same idea of, I'm going to talk about something in life that is going to make you think about the failing of the human body. The circulation of the blood begins to fail. The heart grows weak. It will soon stop. The life is nearly over. What do we think about when we think about the silver cord being loosed? When the almond tree goes into full bloom, eventually those beautiful white leaves fall right off the top, don't they? And the silver cord is loosed. I think that's what he means. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The breath goes where? It goes back to the God who gave it to us. Remember your Creator before it's too late. Charles Bridges once said, many have remembered too late, none too soon. The best time for you to commit your life to God is today. Right now. Not tomorrow. You say, well, I'm already retired. Great. Give him your life today. Well, I'm at middle age and I'm busy. Give him your life today. You just think you're satisfied with your life at middle age, with the career you have and the family you have and the house and the cars you have. You commit that to him. You remember your Creator now. You'll be amazed a year from now how satisfied you'll be with the life he's laid out for you.
Amen.
So I'm just getting started. I don't have anything God wants. I'm young. I'm just trying to get some wisdom. I'm trying to figure all this out. Give it to him. You remember Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath and said, cook me a meal. And she said, all I've got in there is a barrel with how much left in it? Enough for me and my son, and then we're going to die. And they ate off that barrel for a long time after that. All she had to offer was an empty barrel. And God miraculously let that barrel run over again and again and again, day after day after day after day. Amen. Young person, your little bit is much when God is in it. In her hymn, Saved by Grace, the hymn writer Fanny Crosby wrote these words. Takes us to verse 6, the very first, the silver cord. She said, someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. If we stop there, that's depressing, isn't it? Someday my hair is going to turn silver and then it's going to fall out and my voice just won't let me sing like it used to. Now, you may not be a singer. That may not matter to you. But here's a hymn writer, someone who I imagine loved to sing. And she says, and I no more shall sing, but oh, the joy when I shall awake within the palace of the King.
Amen.
She didn't mind death because of how she had lived her life. Solomon says in verse 8, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Here he reaffirms the theme of this book that he's been writing. Everything done under the sun is fleeting. And therefore, in the last analysis, it's all meaningless. What has he concluded that is meaningful? Your birth and your death. He says everything in between, minus God, is meaningless. So remember your Creator. Go back to your birth and change your pattern of living toward your inevitable death. Where you came from and where you are going, this is what matters in life. So give God your youth. Give God your now. Give God today. Soon enough, the cares of life will have you too busy. Before you know it, life will swiftly be gone and it will be too late. I love this poem. My pastor used to share it with us. He would change the words a little bit, but it's called Time's Paces. I bet you've heard it. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as older I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. And thus eternity begun, time done. Do you want to really enjoy your life? Give God your youth. Solomon has lived his life. He has seen and done it all. And he offers this wisdom to those coming behind him. His goal is to urge, especially the young people, to remember their Creator before it is too late in order that they may truly enjoy their life. But what about those of us who've left the time of youth? Well, I'll just remind you, you are younger today than you will be tomorrow. I have a friend who either this year or the next, or maybe in the next couple of years, is turning 50. And he recently had a birthday. So I texted him, happy birthday. And I said, I'm not trying to rub it in, but I know that you're getting close to 50. And he just very quickly responded to me, I'm blocking you in my contacts. Okay. It's not too late. You are younger today than you will be tomorrow. Give God the time you have remaining. How can I do this? Let me give you some steps, some tips here. Form the habit of rejoicing every day. Remembering your Creator. Remembering what He has done for you. Caleb did a good job in the prayer of thanksgiving this morning with that. Do that tomorrow. Do that the next day. Remember Him. Rejoice in Him. He has given you life. He has given you family. He has given you friends to support you in this life. Spend time in His Word. He physically and spiritually has given us our daily bread. He has given us many things to enjoy. He has given us His Son for our salvation. And when we die, that's not the end. Jesus has promised to receive us into His Father's house. So take steps in this life. Steps of rejoicing. Steps of reading. Steps of praying. Steps of relating with other people. All with God as your central focus. And you will be remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. My pastor used to say, old age is a state of mind. And he said, I refuse to get old. So he just said, I'm going to stay youthful. From his perspective, we could live out, no matter our age here this morning, exactly what Solomon is saying. Now, as he did get much older, he finally said one day, I'm to the age now where you just die. He said, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to fall. There doesn't have to be an accident. You just die. And he did. He died. He went to heaven. But until then, before it's too late, before you're out of time, before you're too busy, remember your Creator. Let's stand and pray.